ELC Radio.
Hey girls, Chris Kane here. I am so excited. Propel Activate is coming to a city near you this fall. I know that this is going to be a unique year. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a fresh thing. And I believe you are going to encounter Him in a fresh way. Don't miss out. Be in the room. Encounter the presence of God and change your world.
For more info and details, visit the Elevate Life Church Sacramento app.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from Elevate Life Church Youth Ministries, Chris Serra.
This morning, we're going to talk about goals. You know what's crazy is between Ariel this morning and Jesse, they touched on a lot of what I was already planning on sharing today. So for me, that excites me more because I know, man, God, you're in this. Even last week, I was still like kind of like, okay, God, what do you want to talk about? Like, I hear it, but are you sure? Like, that was too easy. That's not supposed to come that easy. And some of the stuff that Pastor was talking about towards the end of his message really lined up with what I was already hearing in my spirit. So we all have goals, right? Hopefully. Yeah, right? If you don't have goals, I got a goal for you. Make goals. All right. So we all have goals in life. Small goals, goals in between. And then there's life goals. Like, what do you want to do with your life? Like, these are goals that I got to work for a long time. You know what I know what one of my life goals is? I know this is going to sound silly, but I want to grow a beard. All right? I'm 30 years old, and, like, I worked hard for this, right? For some reason, this grows in. Like, if I wanted a neck beard, I could look like it'd be hanging to the floor. But right here, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing coming in, okay? I try every couple weeks. I let it go for like a week or two, and it's like, bing, 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 bing. Nothing, all right? The struggle is real. Pray for me, because, you know, there's some real goals that I got. And, you know, it's just one of my life goals. I want to hear some of you guys. What are some life goals that you have? Buy a house. Come on now. Become a teacher. Come on now. Somebody else. Oh, there you go. Be a good father. Retirement. Come on now. We got to hear some more goals. Y'all got to be confident. Like, this is something you want to do with your life. I need to hear. There needs to be a roar in here this morning. We should have some goals in here this morning. 401k. Come on now. Have a baby. You need to slow down. Be the governor. Ooh, I like this. Come on now. All right. We're getting excited because Eska wants to be the governor. All right. So, check this out. So we all have some incredible goals. We all have some desires that God put in us. You know, 99% of our goals in life are based off the desires that we have, right? Can I tell you something this morning? This is where Pastor would say, we got to put some big boy pants on, some big girl pants on. God very much cares about your desires, but He will often change your goals. He will often change your goals because He cares about the desires in your heart, yes. But the goals that we have, the steps that we have, he's totally loves changing them. See, sometimes goals move, sometimes goals change, and sometimes the goals that we had in mind weren't the ones that He had in mind. Last week, Pastor talked about following God comes with obedience. Something he touched on. In Matthew 22:36, it says this. It says, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" I talk about this a lot. Any of you have heard me preach, I always go back to this scripture. It's like clockwork. But it says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws of the prophets hang on these two commandments." So basically he says, look, this is what I want you to do. Love me with everything you got and love others with everything that you got. Right? So in John 14:15, he adds this part to it. It says, "If you love me, you obey my commands. If you love me, you obey what I'm instructing you to do." You know what one of my life goals is? My biggest life goal that I have is to be obedient to what God has for me. Everything else, every other thing that I want to do comes second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 129th, to being obedient to what God has for me. Because if I love him, I'll obey him. You know what's awesome is that when you love God and you live in obedience to God, he cares about the desires of your heart. But the more that we get in tune with him, those desires will change. Because we start to weed out, okay, maybe that was a desire I had, but it wasn't his desire for me. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad stuff, right? There are stuff that we have in life that we want to do, good things, right? But maybe, even though it's a good thing, God has something else planned for us. God has something better, greater, bigger planned for us. See, saying that you love God is really simple, right? How many of you can just say that? I love God. Yeah. That's easy. Showing God that you love him requires obedience. That's the hard part. It's easy for any of us to say, I come to church, I love God. But obeying him, obeying what he has to tell me, obeying what he's asking me to do, that's hard. We're going to dive in a little bit today. We're going to talk about Saul. There's a big scripture. We're going to talk about it. We're going to jump in it. But I'm going to summarize the first part of it. And basically, God tells Saul, look, these people have been tripping for a long time. I need you to go there and destroy everything, all right? Everything. Go there, destroy it all, okay? So what I'm saying is you need to go there, destroy it all right? So Saul, check this out. What I need you to do, go there, destroy it all. He was very clear. Go there, destroy it all. Here's what Saul did. Saul and his men spared Agag's life, hashtag fail, and kept the best of his sheep, his goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything in fact that appealed to them. Ooh, how many, does that sound like some of us? God, I need you, God's telling you, I want you to get rid of some stuff. You go, okay, God, but you know, that car I just got is real nice, and I'm gonna use it to transport kids to church. So we good though, you know? We make exceptions, right? The Bible says this is, they destroyed only what was worthless and poor of quality. Wow. Oh yeah, God, you know, them old shoes that I had for a long time, yeah, I'm gonna give them to the homeless. I asked you for them new J's though. Oh, but they still got life in them. Those shoes ain't even talking yet, Pastor. They're good. I'm ready to give those to somebody. No, what? Then the Lord said to Samuel, he says this, he says, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king. Ouch. For he has not been loyal to me, and he's refused to obey my command. So Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried to the Lord all night. Can I tell you, as one of the leaders in the church, there are times when we see you guys doing stuff, and we're like, man, I wish they would get it. They're missing it. And there are times, this is one of the reasons we need to honor Pastor next week. Yeah. All right? Because there are times where he's weeping for us. Yeah. Because he cares for us. Because, man, they missed it. They missed it. Man, that wasn't even in my notes, but y'all need to hear that this morning. Yeah. It says, Samuel was so deeply moved that he cried to the Lord all night. And it says, he came to Saul and said, what's going on? He goes, oh, yeah, I did what God told me to do. Yeah, well, it says, then what was all that bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear? Samuel demanded. It's true, my army, they spared the sheep, the goat, the cattle, Saul admitted. But they're going to sacrifice them to God, all right? We destroyed everything else, but the stuff that we kept, we're going to give it to God, you know? And Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you as king. Although you may think little of yourself, Jessica, are you not the woman that God called you to be? Are you not a leader in the church? Did I not put you in this place? Come on, how does that relate to you? Although you might not think that much of yourself, remember, I called you to this. Man. And the Lord sent you on a mission. Go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they're all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush to plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did, Lord. I obeyed you. I cried out. I carried out the mission you gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops bought the best of the sheep, the goat, and the cattle and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Galilee. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what God asked him to do. And he's sitting here going, oh, but I did obey you. What? I did obey you. What? Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than a sacrifice. Submission is better than the offering of fat rams. And rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Whoa. Can I tell you, there's sometimes I'm stubborn. I've never thought I'm worshiping somebody else, but when I'm stubborn, I'm worshiping myself and not God. So because you have rejected the command the Lord has given you, he has rejected you as king. You know, Saul was the first king, number one. So the people asked for a king. God gave him a king. And he said, Saul, you're the man. That position was literally made for Saul. And it says, because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he's rejected you as king. When we reject obedience, we reject the place that God has created for us. When we reject obedience, we reject the place that God has created for us. Come on now. God has created you, Sammy, to do something. God has created that specific place for you. And when you reject obedience, when you say, nah, I'm not gonna do that whole way, we reject what God made for us. Man, this is a little bit of a tough word this morning. Come on now. Our intentions are not better than God's directions. See, Saul tried to say, well, I was gonna take all that nice stuff and whatnot, and I was gonna give them to you though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I might have made some carne asada, a little bit of that. But for the most part, I was going to give that to you. But what did I tell you to do? Es que, for those of you, that's a Latin word in the original translation. Means something like, well, you see, what had happened. All right? Some of us need to break that es que spirit. All right? Don't worry, I didn't say esco spirit. I said esque spirit, okay? Some of us need to break that in our lives. All right? Because God be hitting you with some stuff saying, hey, I need you to put this pledge that you don't have no idea how you're going to make it. Well, es que, see, the way my finances are right now, God, and whatnot, es que, I'll meet you in the middle and whatnot, you know? And then what happens? You know what happens when we get that? When we start making exceptions? We start working towards that middle, and then we're like, well, es que, you know, I need to buy some extra diapers this month, and es que, I'm going to have to meet you in the middle of that middle. See, compromise only leads to compromise. Don't expect to live out God's will for your life when you're trying to live by your own. See, what separates the Sunday Christian from the everyday Christian is the pursuit of God's will. See, the Sunday Christians want that word for the week. And statistically speaking, the Sunday Christians come every like other week, sometimes every third week. So basically, they want the word for the month. And they want to live off that. They don't want that daily bread. They want a loaf, and they want to try to make it through the month with that loaf. All right? Two things about that. One, it probably ain't going to make it that far. And two, if you by some miracle do figure out how to ration that one little loaf through the whole month, by the time the end of the month comes, that's going to be some moldy bread. All right? But that real, everyday, real God-loving Christians, they want that daily bread. Amen. All right? What are you speaking to me today? What are you asking of me today? What are you asking for me as I go before work? What are you asking for me as I'm dropping off my kids to school? What are you asking for me as I'm on my way to church? What are you asking of me today? I can't live off just one word for the month. I can't live off yesterday's. I need it today. I need it every day. So, how do we know if our actions are obedience or actions of our own desires? See, I like that song that we sang this morning. When Jesus said yes, nobody can say no. How do we know that Jesus is saying yes? Because I hear a lot of yeses. Trust me. All right? I'm driving on my way to work, and I see McDonald's, and I'm hungry. I say, yes. Come on. All right? Anybody else in here love McGriddles? I got a secret problem with McGriddles. Okay? All right? I'm confessing to you before man so that, you know, we can confess before my father. All right, so look, I got this problem with McGriddles. Sometimes I'm driving and they, two for $2? What? They don't got no cheese. It's just sausage and pancakes. It's good. That's probably not a yes from God. But, you know, in my super spirituality, I'd be like, Lord, should I? You gave me a green light on the turn signal as I was coming. That's a yes. That is a heck yes. All right? Some of us, we be hearing yeses that ain't from God. But how do we know? How do we know if we're doing his will or we're living by our own echo? How do we know if our sacrifice is honoring to God or honoring to our flesh? How do we know if we're being fully obedient? I'm going to give you two tips. These aren't like always, all the time. But these are two things that I found throughout the scripture and throughout my life that tell me, okay, this is an act of obedience. I'm listening to the voice of God. And one that's not even in my notes is, one, I'm pursuing him. I'm trying to hear that every day. I'm trying to hear that word. What is it, God, that you're saying? All right? But oftentimes when God asks us to do something, the actions don't feel self-serving. I'll give you some scripture in a minute, but here's how it looks. My dad asked me to take out the trash when I was a kid. That don't look like, what is that doing for me? Like, that's doing something for him, right? So he don't have to take out the trash, right? It doesn't feel like I'm doing something for me. Like, a lot of times when when we think God's saying something to us, we're like, oh, yeah, and that's going to bless me. No, no. See, a lot of times, what we do doesn't feel immediately self-serving. But if I don't take out that trash, one, I'm going to have some consequences. Two, I'm going to have to live with the consequences of having that nasty trash in my house. It doesn't feel self-serving in the moment, but in the long run, it's a benefit to me to do what my father asks. The second thing that happens, very common throughout Scripture, when God is asking us to do something, we can't do it without him. See, our will, we want to do the things that we know we can do. Like, God will give us a pledge and we'll be like, okay, cool, $100, I can do that. Like, wait, what? Yeah, I can do that. That's totally doable. They're like, nah, that's not what I said, though. Yeah, I heard you got $100. Now, hey, if you're going through hard times and really that's what God's speaking to you, that's all good. I'm not mad at you. If you're being obedient to what God's saying, I'm not mad at you. But if you can do it on your own, it's probably not what he's asking you to do. See, God's will is to do the things in your life that only he can do through you. Because he doesn't want you to be able to go, yup, I did it though. Self-made. On mines. No, look, I'm God-made. I couldn't do this without him. I have no idea how I'd be here without him. Man, I got to give the glory and the honor to him because without him, I do not know how I'd be doing what I'm doing. I don't not know how I'd be able to give what God's called me to give. I do not know how I'd be able to have the life that I have, the wife that I have, the dogs that I have, the future children that I have without him. But we get so stuck in, oh, man, see, I can do that. God don't care about what you can do. Your obedience isn't what you can, it's not about what you can do, it's about what he can do through you. See, obedience, God called a little shepherd boy to be king, but it's his obedience that got him to the kingdom. Obedience is hard. Obedience is hard. Y'all ever tried being obedient when you want to do something else? Obedience is hard. See, David was cast out and hunted for his obedience. Like he was literally living in the kingdom and he was on the run being hunted down for his obedience. God said, look, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Okay, I'm not. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it no matter how hard it is. I'm going to go from living in the palace to living in a cave with some stinky bugs and people trying to hunt me, because I'm going to be obedient. Obedience is hard. But because David was obedient, David's one of the most talked about characters throughout the Bible. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of King Josiah. Jesse messed me up because he stole that name. But check this out. In the Bible, in the book of Kings, there's about 40 plus kings that are talked about throughout the Bible. And I did a sermon on this a while back. And basically, it goes something like this. This person was made king. He was all bad. They killed him and overthrew him. He died. This person was made that. It's like one sentence kings. Like you go, if you're lucky, you got a paragraph. And if you're really lucky, he was a decent king. So they overthrew him and they killed him and he died. But then it comes to Josiah. Look at what Josiah did. 2 Kings 23:25 says this. It says, there had never been a king like Josiah before who turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, and all his strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. Those are the laws that God gave to the people. And there has never been a king like him before. I like what the message says. It says, there was no king to compare to Josiah, neither before nor after. A king who turned in total repentant obedience to God. Heart, mind, and strength, following the instructions revealed to him, written by Moses, the world will never see a king like Josiah. The world will never see a father like Jack. The world will never see a teacher like Aubrey. The world will never see a leader like Junior. If you're obedient. If you're obedient to what God's telling you, the world will never see someone like you again if you choose to be fully obedient. Pastor talked about this last week. Being a Christian, being a follower of God, comes with sacrifice. Yes, obedience is greater than a sacrifice, but obedience still comes with sacrifice. See, David had to give up being king. David had to be like, okay, look, if I'm going to be obedient, I got to be willing to give up what I've been dreaming my whole life for. But I'll do it to be obedient. Josiah, there's a reason that all these one-sentence, half-a-paragraph kings are in the Bible. Because they didn't choose to be obedient. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard to tell everybody, look, all that fake stuff that you're doing, we got to kill that noise. Josiah said, you know what? Even if y'all don't like me, I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. See, Abraham is known as the father of our faith. He had to be willing to sacrifice the one thing that he dreamed of his whole life for. He dreamed his whole life to have a kid. Imagine that one desire that you have had your whole life. And God says, look, I want you to kill it. But you just gave this to me. Yeah, it's cool. I want you to kill it. But I actually got it. It's not even like on its way anymore. Like, it's in my hand. Yeah, I need you to take that. I need you to kill it. Obedience comes with sacrifice. See, God didn't take it from him, but he needed to know that he was willing to sacrifice it. He needed to know that, look, no matter what, I'm okay with giving you everything that you're asking me to give you. I'm okay with giving you because I know that you have something for me. And you know what? When he took that, he stopped him. And he went from being a guy who was going to have a kid to a guy who was the father of nations. See, when you're willing to sacrifice your dreams, your desires, God will multiply them. When you're willing to say, I'm going to give you everything that I got, no matter how hard I worked for it, no matter how long it took me to get here, even though it's already in my hand, I have it. I got that position. I got that money. I got that blessing. I got that car. I got whatever it is. God's going to take it and multiply it if you're willing to give it back to him. I mean, that's the principle of the tithe. We take that 10%, all right? And some of you are like, well, I don't make that much. I can't give that 10%. Honestly, the more you make, the harder it is to give that 10%. All right? When I was making $100 a week, giving God 10 bucks, it wasn't that hard. Like, okay, here's my 10 bucks. Okay, when I'm making a lot more and there's some zeros behind that, that's hard, all right? Because that 10 bucks is now the equivalent of my car payment. So, God, I can give you, this is a lot, right? It's a lot harder. But if you're obedient with what he asks you to give him now, if you're obedient with the sacrifice he's asking you to give now, he's going to take that and make it bigger than you imagine. See, he was willing to take the one kid that he dreamed of. Look, I don't even have a kid. But again, for the sake of humor, but also it's real, I love my doggies. But if God told me, hey, I know you raised this pup since he was a couple months old. He was a little chubby guy. And now he's 3 and he's a big annoying dog. but I love him. He's my dog. And God tells me, look, I need you to go drop him off to the shelter because I need more of your time. He's got a kennel. No, see, he's... Am I willing to do that? See, when he was willing to do that, when Abraham was willing to do that, he said, look, you got one kid, but look at the stars. That's going to be your descendants now. Because you are willing to give me what you desired so much, this one kid, look at that. You see the sand? Try to count them. Try to count them. I bet you started too. It's like one, two. No, seriously, don't try to count them. But look it. That's going to be your descendants. When we're obedient, God will blow our mind. Obedience will take you farther than your own will can ever do. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, you think when God says, hey, I'm going to give you some extra blessing, okay, cool, I'm going to give a little bit of that to you. You think that that's doing something. Meh, sure, it is. Not going to knock you, all right? But when you're fully obedient and God says, look, I want half of that. I want the whole thing. What? Look, check, wait, before you start tripping, remember, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So you think that you're blessing me with this little bit, but I'm asking you to bless me with more, and I'm going to return more. If we would be willing to obey God, be willing to sacrifice, God will bring you somewhere, something greater than you asked for. All Abraham asked for was a kid. Like, all he wanted was a kid. And that, look, that's a noble intention. I want to have a child. There's nothing wrong with that. God is cool with that. But he goes, cool, but I got more for you. I want to be in a good position. Cool. Well, I want you to be the boss. I want to be able to make $40,000 a year. Cool. I want you to make 80. But are you willing to give me that which you have right now? Are you willing to give me the $10,000 you make in a year? Are you willing to give me the little that you have now so that I can give you more? We won't see it in the moment. We won't get it in the moment. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. But we stand firm knowing that God is not a man that can lie. That's his word. Look, when I'm telling you you need to seek God daily, there's a reason. Because I can go to his word when I'm struggling with my obedience. I struggle with my obedience. I think I'm the only one. I know y'all got this together. But I struggle with my obedience sometimes. All right? There are sometimes God will ask me to do something that is very, very, very difficult. But I do it. Why? Because I turn to his word. And his word says, look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. I can be obedient because I know that you got me. Look, I promised you a certain thing if you be obedient. Okay, you're not a man that would lie, so I can trust you, I can be obedient. I know what it is to have little and have plenty. Okay, I know I can be obedient. Because your scriptures keep giving me reasons to trust you and be obedient. The problem with us when we struggle, when we get that Esca spirit, is that we haven't been in our word. We haven't been in our spirit. We haven't been in our prayer. So when those thoughts come, we got nothing to combat it with. So when you get that thought of, hey, 10's a little high, let's go for like 6.5% tithe. All right? Well, I can't think of any reason why not. Yeah? Pick up your word. I can give you some reasons why not. Pick up your word. Get in prayer. See what God has to say about it. Look, this is a challenging message, right? I know you want some rainbows and butterflies You know, what does the pastor say? Be nice to the animals. Please do. But look, the best word that I can give you is one that's going to challenge you in your spirit. The best word that I can give you is the one that's challenging me in this moment. I have dreams and desires. Y'all got dreams and desires? Right? Hashtag life goals. Right? Later today, post something. Hashtag life goals. Something I want to do. Hashtag life goals. All right? Yo, but I'm willing to sacrifice them all if that means I stay obedient. Like I said, Abraham wanted a son. God wanted to make him a father of his nations. Only his obedience got him there. Our church is working towards a building so we can do more in South Sac. Look, that wasn't an easy decision. I know you hear it and it's powerful, but it was not an easy decision for our pastors to make and for our team to say, yes, we're going to get behind. But it's what God said to us, and we're going to be obedient. And I'm believing that even though we're trying to do something for South Sac, I'm believing that God's trying to do something for the nations. Why? Because when we're obedient, he multiplies our desires to his. Our obedience multiplies our desires. I'm going to be real vulnerable with you guys this morning. And I don't want to do this. Hear me out. I don't want to do this to brag about, oh, well, look at me. I'm doing this because I want to stir up your faith. I don't even know why I'm getting emotional. My desire, since I was in the third grade, no joke, I've shared this before, is to be a pastor, to be in full-time ministry. About 7 years ago now, God called me here. In that time, I passed on about, I think almost 8 full-time paid positions. Again, not about me. My obedience is taking me farther in my spirit, in my heart, in what God wants to do in me, than saying yes to something nice, whatever. Just this week, no joke, just this week, one of our friends, Good Intentions, hit us up and said, hey, I got a full-time paid position for you in Colorado. I said, well, number one, the Lord knows I don't like snow. Okay, maybe that was like 2 or 3. Number one is God has called me here. Even though those things are desires of my heart, the real desire of my heart is to be obedient. So I will sacrifice ever being a preacher, ever being a pastor, ever being in full-time ministry. If I gotta work 4 side jobs for the rest of my life, I will do it to be obedient. Because can I tell you something? I live with so much peace in my heart. I live with so much joy in my heart. I live with so much energy. Even when I'm sick. Even when my back's hurting on stage. Pray for your boy. Because I'm being obedient. My obedience, man, is so much bigger than the desires I have. Look, God will honor those desires. He'll take me somewhere. He might not. But he's going to do more with my obedience than my desires. He's going to do more with your obedience than your desires. You know, last week, we were writing our pledge. And Aubrey was at home sick, and I told her this when I got home. I told her I cried writing my pledge. Because in the morning, we hadn't really even talked about our pledge yet. And, some of y'all, like when you're married, you kind of usually like wait to hear like what your wife has to say sometimes, hoping that the Lord says something different. So we hadn't talked about this number at all. It's a lot more than the first pledge that we struggled to make. A lot more. So I said, babe, what's the number you got? She gave me the number. It's like, yeah. I got the same number. We're coming up. Next March is our 5th year anniversary, and we've been planning to do something nice. We've never been on a fat vacation before. So that number is the equivalent of what that vacation that I've been looking at is. Man, I want to honor my wife. I want to have a good time. I want to be there. I want to do those things. But you know what? It's not about me. God is bigger than me. So, you know what? If I don't go on my vacation, if we go to Disneyland for the 100th time, I ain't mad. I'll be obedient. If we go to Thunderland for the first time, I'm good. I'll be obedient. Because no matter what it is, I know that when I give up my desires, as noble as they are, look, there's nothing wrong with saying I want to do something nice for my wife. God loves that I want to do something nice for me and my wife. But when I'm willing to sacrifice that, I cried not because it was a hard number to write, but because as I was giving it, I said, that vacation ain't nothing compared to what you're going to give me, huh? See, I was thinking about something, but you got something bigger for me, huh? Man, maybe you're choosing to give up your Sundays. Maybe that's hard. Maybe that's a step that God wants you to take. Maybe God wants to give you some fat weekend vacation because you chose to give up your Sundays. Maybe that job that's taken away from your family, that's hard on your life. Man, I know it's going to be a financial burden. But maybe God wants to bless you with something that's going to set you up even better. Maybe that relationship that you've been holding on to for way too long. Maybe God's got a better one. That raise that you just got, you thought it was for you. All right. I already seen them rims on my ride. Maybe God wants to give you a better ride than the rims that you're trying to put on.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.